No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 20th day of August. Welcome, everyone. It's a joy to be here with you, an honor and a privilege to read the Word of God and to be a part of your journey, your experience, your 25 to 37 minute journey of time with God and His Word. I'm humbled to be here, and I am so grateful that each of you are here and allowing the Word of God to speak to your heart, to your mind, and I pray that as you do, you allow it to transform you from the inside out. That is the hope. That is the goal. Nothing can do that more than the Word of God, in my unprofessional opinion. And I say that because I have been completely transformed from the inside out through God's Word. And I can tell you it didn't happen the first time and didn't happen the second time. But as we go, as we are here and we drink deep and we eat this daily bread, we are nourished and we are changed from inside out. Today we're going to start a brand new book and end a brand new book, another minor prophet in the Old Testament. We're reading the book of Habakkuk, and we're reading the three chapters that make up the book of Habakkuk. And this week we're reading the New English Translation. Let's read it and we'll talk about it. Habakkuk chapter 1 through 3. This is the oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. How long, Lord, must I cry for help, but you do not listen? I call out to you, violence, but you do not deliver. Why do you force me to witness injustice? Why do you put up with wrongdoing? Destruction and violence confront me. Conflict is present, and one must endure strife. For this reason, the law lacks power, and justice is never carried out. Indeed, the wicked intimidate the innocent. For this reason, justice is perverted. The Lord's surprising answer. Look at the nations and pay attention. You will be shocked and amazed, for I will do something in your lifetime that you will not believe, even though you are forewarned. Look, I am about to empower the Babylonians, that ruthless and greedy nation. They sweep across the surface of the earth, seizing dwelling places that do not belong to them. They are frightened and terrifying. They decide for themselves what is right. Their horses are faster than leopards and more alert than wolves in the desert. Their horses gallop. Their horses come a great distance. Like vultures, they swoop down quickly to devour their prey. All of them intend to do violence. Every face is determined. They take prisoners as easily as one scoops up sand. They mock kings and laugh at rulers. They laugh at every fortified city. They build siege ramps and capture them. They sweep by like the wind and pass on. But the one who considers himself a god will be held guilty. Habakkuk voices some concerns. Lord, you have been active from ancient times. My sovereign God, you are immortal. Lord, you have made them your instrument of judgment. Protector, you have appointed them as your instrument of punishment. You are too just to tolerate evil. You are unable to condone wrongdoing. So why do you put up with such treacherous people? Why do you say nothing when the wicked devour those more righteous than they are? You made people like fish in the sea, like animals in the sea that have no ruler. The Babylonian tyrant pulls them all up with a fishhook. He hauls them in with his throw net. When he catches them in his dragnet, he is very happy. Because of his success, he offers sacrifices to his throw net and burns incense to his dragnet. For because of them, he has plenty of food and more than enough to eat. Will he then continue to fill and empty his throw net? Will he always destroy nations and spare none? I will stand at my watchpost. I will remain stationed on the city wall. I will keep watching so I can see what he says to me and can know how I should answer when he counters my argument. The Lord assures Habakkuk. The Lord responded, "Write down this message. Record it legibly on tablets, so the one who announces it may read it easily. For the message is a witness to what is decreed. It gives reliable testimony about how matters will turn out. Even if the message is not fulfilled right away, wait patiently, for it will certainly come to pass. It will not arrive late. Look, the one whose desires are not upright will faint from exhaustion, but the person of integrity will live because of his faithfulness. Indeed, wine will betray the proud, restless man. His appetite is as big as Sheol's, like death. He is never satisfied. He gathers all the nations. He seizes all peoples. But all these nations will someday taunt him and ridicule him with proverbial sayings. Woe to the one who accumulates what does not belong to him. How long will this go on? He who gets rich by extortion. Your creditors will suddenly attack. Those who terrify you will spring into action, and they will rob you. Because you robbed many countries, all who are left among the nations will rob you. You have shed human blood and committed violent acts against lands, cities, and those who live in them. The one who builds his house by unjust gain is as good as dead. He does this so he can build his nest way up high and escape the clutches of disaster. Your schemes will bring shame to your house. Because you destroyed many nations, you will self-destruct. For the stones and the walls will cry out, and the wooden rafters will answer back. Woe to the one who builds a city by bloodshed, he who starts a town by unjust deeds. Be sure of this. The Lord of Heaven's armies has decreed. The nation's efforts will go up in smoke. Their exhausting work will be for nothing. For recognition of the Lord's sovereign majesty will fill the earth, just as the waters fill up the sea. Woe to you who force your neighbor to drink wine, you who make others intoxicated by forcing them to drink from the bowl of your furious anger, so you can look at their naked bodies. But you will become drunk with shame, not majesty. Now it is your turn to drink and expose your uncircumcised foreskin. The cup of wine in the Lord's right hand is coming to you, and disgrace will replace your majestic glory. For you will pay in full for your violent acts against Lebanon. Terrifying judgment will come upon you because of the way you destroyed the wild animals living there. You have shed human blood and committed violent acts against lands, cities, and those who live in them. What good is an idol? Why would a craftsman make it? What good is a metal image that gives misleading oracles? Why would its creator place his trust in it and make such mute, worthless things? Woe to the one who says to wood, "Wake up!" He who says to speechless stone, "Awake!" Can it give reliable guidance? It is overlaid with gold and silver. It has no life's breath inside it. But the Lord is in his majestic palace. The whole earth is speechless in his presence. Habakkuk's vision of the divine warrior. This is a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. Lord, I have heard the report of what you did. I am awed, Lord, by what you accomplished. In our time, repeat those deeds. In our time, reveal them again. But when you cause turmoil, remember to show us mercy. God comes from Taman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His splendor has covered the skies. The earth is full of his glory. His brightness will be as lightning, a two-pronged lightning bolt flashing from his hand. This is the outward display of his power. Plague will go before him. Pestilence will march right behind him. He took his battle position and shook the earth. With a mere look, he frightened the nations. The ancient mountains disintegrated. The primeval hills were flattened. His are ancient roads. I saw the tents of Cushan overwhelmed by trouble. The tent curtains of the land of Midian were shaking. Was the Lord mad at the rivers? Were you angry with the rivers? Were you enraged at the sea? Such that you would climb into your horse-drawn chariots, your victorious chariots? Your bow is ready for action. You commission your arrows, Selah. You cause flash floods on the earth's surface. When the mountains see you, they shake. The torrential downpour sweeps through. The great deep shouts out. It lifts its hands high. The sun and moon stand still in their courses. The flash of your arrows drives them away. The bright light of your lightning quick spear. You furiously stomp on the earth. You angrily trample down the nations. You march out to deliver your people, to deliver your special servant. You strike the leader of the wicked nation, laying him open from the lower body to the neck, Selah. You pierce the heads of his warriors with a spear. They storm forward to scatter us. They shout with joy, as if they were plundering the poor with no opposition. But you trample on the sea with your horses, on the surging, raging waters. I listened, and my stomach churned. The sound made my lips quiver. My frame went limp, as if my bones were decaying, and I shook as I tried to walk. I long for the day of distress to come upon the people who attack us, when the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, when the olive trees do not produce, and the fields yield no crops, when the sheep disappear from the pen, and there are no cattle in the stalls. I will rejoice because of the Lord. I will be happy because of the God who delivers me. The Sovereign Lord is my source of strength. He gives me the agility of a deer. He enables me to negotiate the rugged terrain. This prayer is for the song leader. It is to be accompanied by string instruments. Let's talk about this book, Habakkuk. It's an important one, but let's understand what's happening here. This particular prophetic book and voice of Habakkuk is a conversation with God, a little bit reminiscent of the book of Job and a little bit reminiscent in some of the Psalms where David is crying out to God, like, where are you? And why are you not doing something about the evil in the world? So let's break this down just a little bit. In the first chapter, we hear Habakkuk's fair argument and questions. How long? How long do I have to cry out and you do not listen? It's so relatable, and then it's a little bit funny when you read it going, who are we to ask God when he plans on showing up as if he needs to work at our finger snap? God responds back to Habakkuk that he is going to use the Babylonians, or sometimes they're referred to as the Chaldeans, to judge Judah for their sin. This leads to further questions from Habakkuk again that are rational questions, and maybe you can relate to them. In the second chapter, Habakkuk continues, how could a just God use a nation like Babylon, who are even more evil than Judah, to bring Judah to punishment? Make it make sense. That's kind of what I'm feeling right there. God, make it make sense how you're going to use an even more wicked nation to judge the nation of Judah. Let's understand that God is God. Does he even need to answer such questions? Does he need to be brought into question? And yet he does. This is how loving God is, that he doesn't respond with, just wait and see. How many times do I have to tell you? Who do you think I am? But instead he instructs Habakkuk, write this down. Write it legibly, because this message will be a witness to what is said. It will give reliable testimony about how things will turn out. And even if it doesn't happen right away, wait patiently. It will come, and it will not be late. God reassures Habakkuk that Babylon will too be judged, and they will be judged for their pride, for their violence, and for their idolatry. And also in this chapter, the theme is introduced, and we have to pay attention to this. Ultimately, are we going to trust God's plan and timing when it seems impossible? When it seems just too big for there to be any way that justice could be brought into this situation? We forget that God is ultimately the judge in this life or the life thereafter. And I need you to hold on just another second, because there's an even greater theme that we have to talk about in this short 3-chapter book today. Let's break down the 3rd chapter. It seems God's reminders, his gentle and kind reminders to Habakkuk, restores Habakkuk's profound trust, faithfulness in God and his justice. Our word this year is safe. It can mean so many different things, and it never plays out the way that Brian and I think it's going to play out. Safety, trust comes when we have a safe place to go. If God met Habakkuk with shame for his questions, with belittlement, who are you to question the Lord God? Would he trust God? Would the reminder be what he needed to place his trust back in God? God met him with kindness, with compassion, and with love. He was safe for Habakkuk to bring his questions, valid questions. This is why we have to be a safe place for people with doubts and with questions, people who lose faith. Finding more faith is nearly impossible if we only need a mustard seed to begin with. But answering our doubts, presenting our doubts, and then being gently maneuvered, gently massaged, gently wrung out, reestablishes our faith through trust, through kindness, through love, through gentleness, and also the fact that God is God. He's above and beyond our human understanding. So as we get to our final chapter in Habakkuk, chapter 3, we see Habakkuk's faith reinstated, his trust even greater than where he began. And let me just point out the deepening of our faith and our trust comes in the questions. It comes in the wrestling. It comes with the uncomfortability, and we have got to have safe places to bring those questions, to bring those doubts. We have to be safe places. Diminishing and dismissing someone's feelings and questions because we don't have the answer it's a real problem within our faith. Shaming people for not having enough faith and telling them how to find more faith but dismissing their questions, their thoughts, and their feelings does not produce more faith. It produces great confusion. I thank God that God is not confused. He's not confused by our questions. We don't get to have the answers all the time. We have to trust and rest in the mystery oftentimes. But will we trust him to be God? Will we trust that his ways are higher than ours? That our minds and our brains are not quite able to conceive his ways and understand his timing, his provision, and his working? The greater theme here that we have to touch on, and I'm just going to touch on it and gently place it right here because it's going to be a reoccurring theme that we're going to start to see real closely, and that is that trusting God's timing and his ways in using the Babylonians, which, according to Habakkuk, how are you going to use an even greater evil to judge an already evil? We don't get what God is doing because we don't see the bigger picture oftentimes. We want what is right here in front of our face, in our hands, able to grab and have right now and make it as easy as possible. The bigger picture at play is that what God is doing is being done in hopes to avoid a perpetual state of revenge. Because we often think we're reaching for justice. Justice is someone getting what they deserve. Revenge is making them pay and hurt in return greater than they hurt or offended us. We often mistake justice for revenge and revenge for justice. And when we reach for revenge, we often reach for that jugular. It's an overreach. It's a dangerous reach. And it does irreversible, irrevocable, irreparable damage. We're going to see this continue to be played out as the story goes forward. So Jesus, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for being God. Thank you for being greater than us, even though we oftentimes think that you need our help. We oftentimes think that you will come to our level and do what it is that we demand that you do. And I thank you, God, for being God and knowing when to tell us yes and know when to tell us no and know when to tell us not right now. May we trust you. May we be a safe place for those around us. And may we represent you as safe. I pray this all in the safe and capable and matchless and mighty name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, DAB. That is the website. That is the free app. Download it. Check it out. Send it to a friend. If you would like to partner with us in the summer months, we thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. If you are giving by mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or if you are utilizing your mobile app, hit the Give icon up at the top right-hand corner. Lastly, look for the Give icon on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, there are several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line, or again, utilizing that mobile app, hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. When you are finished, hit submit, take your finger, move it, the little wheel to chronological, and it will get to the right place. Happy 20th year to Daily Audio Bible. Thank you so much for celebrating with us. We are truly enjoying giving back in lots of different ways as we celebrate 20 years of Daily Audio Bible. And every day as a celebration over at Daily Audio Bible, the main channel, my husband, Brian, reads that. He founded it, started this crazy journey almost 20 years ago. And boy, we're not the same people that started out 20 years ago. And I like to say praise God for that. We're releasing new music. There are 20th anniversary products. And stay tuned, there's more to come. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Hey, DFT fam, it's Carrie, aka Jesus Girl. I just wanted to lift up Susie and her sister and her sister's family, Lord. I come to you this morning and I thank you and I praise you that you are in control in the midst of hard times. God, I ask that you would be so kind as to work it out for Susie to get to her sister Jennifer before Jennifer leaves this earth, Lord. God, I ask that you be with Vince and Joey in particular that have just lost mother and grandmother and are about to lose wife and mother. Joey in particular, Lord, he's young and he's about to be leaving and he's got college to start, and knowing that his mother's about to pass and will have to soon return for her funeral, unless you perform a miracle, which you are capable of. So Lord, I just lay each one of them in your hand. I ask God that you bless, that you give courage and strength. God, I ask that you would touch Jennifer's body, Lord, and that you would do a miracle. Lord, Susie didn't mention if Jennifer is a believer in you, Lord, but if she is not right with you, God, I ask that you get a hold of her at this time before she transitions out of here, Lord, and that she be able to transition to glory and to be with you, God. God, I ask, please, that you just lift each and every one of them up, provide your mercy and your grace in a way that only you can do. God, we thank you and we praise you and we give you honor and glory. In your name I pray. Dabsy fam, I love you. Be safe. Be blessed. Bye.
Hi, it's Elta Lee Pally listening to the AB Chronological on the 16th of August. And I'm so sorry about your sister. I'm so sorry for her husband, who's also lost his mother, and the child who's gone up to college. We just pray you'll comfort them on every side. Be their hope. Draw them close to you, Lord. And I just pray you'll let this sister give her a way to get out, to see her sister before she dies, provide the transportation, the lodging, and everything she needs. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Good morning, DFC fam. This is Lady of Victory on Monday, August 18th. Just calling in to pray for the daughter of Silversmith and our sister from Bangalore. I think she said daughter of honor. God, we thank you, we honor you, we magnify you, because you alone are God. And besides you, there is none other. God, and I always get emotional when I come before the throne of grace, because I know that it's in you that we live, we move, and have our being. And I know, God, that the circumstances and situations that we each face are real circumstances and real situations in our lives. God, but we carry such needless pain because we don't carry all of our cares and concerns to the foot of the cross. And I'm talking about present company included. God, we sometimes look at prayer as a last resort. Maybe not all of us, God, but I know sometimes I look at prayer as a last resort. I try everything else, and then I'm like, okay, God, I can't. But I thank you, Lord God, that you tell us that you so care about us. You care about us so, for God, so. That little word, so, it carries a great burden. God, how much you love us. And so I thank you, God, that we can bring all of these cares, the depression and sickness and illness and upper GI problems and job problems and children problems, that we can bring them all to the foot of the cross. And you care about each and every one of them, so much so that you're already dispatching angels on the daughters of Silversmith and the daughter of honor's behalf, God. And we thank you, and not only on them, God, but you see our prayers, and so we thank you in advance for all that you're doing. It's in Jesus' name.